Hello and welcome to One Man in Stardis. I'm Chris Nichols.
I'm Ian Glibb.
And I'm Gemma Nichols. Hello. Sorry.
Hello. This is episode 8.
Yes, this is episode 8. Yes. And this is a retrospective of Elizabeth Sladen.
And the two goodbyes of Liz Sladen.
Yes.
Oh, very fitting.
Yes.
And of course, I think because it's Doctor Who, I think we'll mainly be talking about Sarah Jane Smith, I think.
Well, yes.
Right, okay.
Do we need to explain why we were slightly giggly at the beginning of that?
Oh, well, if you listen after the music.
Listen then, after the end.
Okay.
You'll discover why.
All right, there's an outtake coming, people.
Oh,
don't
God.
Turn off when we're done.
No, do turn off, because it's humiliating.
Okay, so this episode's been a long time in the making. I think this is the main reason why we started podcasting again, really. Because we stopped, and then Ian said... Well, we really should podcast about this after we heard the news about Elizabeth Sladen.
Well, I think originally it was Nicholas Courtney as well, really, but then Liz Sladen kind of went as well, and we were all so shocked by that, and it wasn't exactly the first thing in my head. It was, oh, we should do a podcast about this. There was actually some mourning there as well, and it was, you know, it was a shocking thing. But it was just, it makes it sound horrible now to say, oh, this is a good reason to podcast. That's just not the way to put it at all, is it?
But I think it's quite cathartic as well.
It is quite talking cathartic, about something yes. Like that. I think it was really just a kind of like a reason to kind of like sit down and discuss.
Oh, should we put the timer on?
Oh!
Oh, yes, that's
true. A good idea.
Okay, we'll put the timer on. Timer starting now.
Oh. So another reason, the reason why this has been spurred on now is because we've just finished watching the last Sarah Jane Adventures episode. Now, of course, this is a few weeks after it because we're just backing up a few episodes before we start releasing these online. So this is going to come out of left field for a lot of people, but I think anyone who is a Doctor Who fan would still be interested in hearing, maybe not what we say, but just a general conversation about how we feel about Elizabeth Sladen.
I think so.
And I'm sure there will be a Nicholas Courtney episode
there
at some point.
Yes.
Hell yeah!
Yes,
because I love the brick.
Indeed. Oh,
okay. So, do we want to start talking about Elizabeth Sladen and then get into Sarah Jane, or do we want to start with Sarah Jane?
I think the best thing to do is to. Sorry, Gemma was just eating her
pop guard.
I don't know what's wrong with me this evening. I'm sorry.
I was going to say before we start off, there probably won't be as much ranting as there is in other episodes.
No, because I'm in a really good mood for some reason.
To be honest, well, that and we're talking about Elizabeth Sladen.
Yeah,
we can't
not
really
a lot
rant
to rant
about Elizabeth Sladen. About Sarah Jane Smith. Yes, what I was going to say was, I think it's a good idea to say what we thought about the end of Sarah Jane, first off. The end of Sarah Jane Adventures, even.
Yeah.
And then we can move on to other things about, you know, our personal memories of Sarah Jane. I don't know whether... Did you meet her?
No. Never met Elizabeth Sladen.
And, yes, we'll give our own personal little things and our favourite Sarah Jane moments and...
Okay, so we've just, all three of us separately, have watched the final episode of the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yes.
I know we watched, that's me and Gemma, watched the whole of the last series. I've watched all of the Sarah Jane Adventures because I quite like them. And I'm sure we will do a podcast on like the spin-offs, Torchwood, Sarah Jane Adventures at some point. I was really impressed with the series, the three stories. Up until the final episode. I enjoyed watching the first one, which was the Sky.
Yes.
The second one, which is the Clive standalone.
Clive.
Yeah, good old Clive. Where would we be without him, eh? Blimey.
And then we watched the first part of the Never Man, the Nowhere Man.
The Man Who Never Was.
The Man Who Never Was.
And which was hilarious.
Really
funny. Oh my God.
But personally, I felt the second episode kind of fell down a little bit. I couldn't pinpoint where.
I was kind of expecting something a little bit more finally, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when Elizabeth Sladen passed away, and, you know, after the first few days, I think Russell T Davis did say that's kind of like, well, we have done a finale. I think they were saying about the last thing she filmed was going to be the finale of the series.
Yeah.
So it made me kind of think that, oh, well, yeah, that's all right. It must be some kind of proper
end.
See, this is something that I thought as well. I heard, and I can't remember my source from where I heard it, but they said they filmed the first episode, a middle episode of the season, and they filmed the final episode. and then they were going to fill in as and when they were able to.
Mm.
And yeah, it didn't really feel.
But no. Aside from the fact that obviously she died, and so you feel like it should be something final.
Yeah, it's true.
There's also the thing where that was supposed to be the season finale.
Yes.
Even if she hadn't died.
Yeah.
So exactly. there was still something lacking as a season finale.
Yeah, exactly.
Slightly. That's what I was going to say. There's no conclusion to the Sky storyline.
No.
I don't feel. No. I suppose she finally meets the other boy. Names are eluding me now. Luke
comes back.
She finally meets Luke, so maybe that was going to be a string.
To you guys before, that was the only thing about it that set it apart slightly from the fact that this is not just another episode of Sarah Jane.
Mm.
Really, it was just the fact that Luke was back. And
yeah,
Sky was kind of like a bit nervous about meeting him and everything. But, I mean, we're still getting to know her, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Really. It's a shame, really, because you know, it could have been quite fun.
It could have been quite fun, exactly, yeah. But yeah, as episodes go, I mean, judging it as an episode rather than Sarah Jane's final episode or the final episode that Elizabeth Slade never did, I don't think it's quite up there with, like The Death of the Doctor or things like that.
But then again, if you're not expecting, if it was the end of the series and they knew they were going to do no more, they would have made a big effort for it.
Exactly.
But obviously it was just kind of out of the blue kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they weren't really planning, you know, they were probably planning to do several more series.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they kind of probably just had to run with what they've got.
Yeah.
But the end bit kind of did feel a bit tagged on.
Yes.
It was like the end of the story came and then there was a speech.
Yeah.
About it all happening anyway. And there in space, the adventure continues. And I was just like, what the hell is this?
Well, that does feel like they have done in Sarah Jane before, where they do these tagged on bits at the beginning of the season and at the end, where Sarah Jane is just staring into space going, oh, the wonders that I've seen. And stuff like that. It's very common for the Sarah Jane adventures.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, there is a tagline at the end of it where it says the story continues. Or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, I think.
But you made a good point, Gemma, when you said,
oh, it's weird when you call me Gemma. Yeah.
I believe you said that it's just something like she will live on in her heart. She will always still be fighting the monsters if it's in book form or something like that.
I didn't say that.
Maybe? Oh, okay.
I think I said that.
I think that was Ian.
I do apologise.
It's really good that you're getting Ian and your wife confused.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Well done.
Well, I have known him longer.
That is true.
Okay, the only other thing I wanted to say about that episode, we've said that as a finale for Sarah Jane, I think it would be very difficult in that scenario. They've just introduced another child. She's just adopted another child.
Yeah.
She's got a 16-year-old at university
who's
pushed on faster. He's in his second or third year now. And it would be difficult for them to say, oh, and now Sarah Jane has died as well. Well, you would have all these loose ends of, well, what happens to these children?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's now going to look after them?
Yeah. I don't think they were ever going to go down the road. This is what I was thinking about. I think you, Gemma, mentioned before. It's all right, when I say
Ian.
It. when they were doing the Brigadier goodbyes in The Wedding of River Song.
Yes.
And I think you were the one that said, if they do Sarah Jane next, I'm just going to be in pieces.
I don't think I'll be
this
in
is,
pieces.
But, this is, this is referencing in the Wedding of Wedding of River Song.
Oh.
the Doctor phones up the Brigadier to go, right, okay, it's all on me except for the driving and the money.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he finds out that the Brigadier has died in an old person's home.
Yeah.
And all this. And,
but
and
I think in the context of the Who universe, that is plausible to have written in the fact that the Brigadier dies, to have written in the fact that Sarah Jane has died. Would be a bit more of a stretch.
Why?
You know? Well, I think
because she keeps fighting aliens and stuff, it's kind of a risk you take, isn't it? So I don't think it would be impossible.
But nobody's in the kind of like, she's a hero character.
Hmm.
So for a hero character in a series to be killed by an alien rather than natural old age is, you know?
Probably
it's
better,
not,
isn't
it's not
it?
Supposed to happen, really. Especially off screen, even, I should say. I don't think they could have actually written anything to kind of like say, no, Sarah Jane has actually passed away, to be honest. Because, I mean, she was, for one thing, she was a lot more...
Well, it would be odd at the end of the Sarah Jane series.
Yes.
Because that would have just been like, oh, no, we've gone through this story, and oh, crap, suddenly, oh, what, you know?
Yes.
Did she get run over? Or, you know, and it would just be that, this thing that would just happen, and then that would be it. But later on in Doctor Who or something, for it to be referenced, I don't think would be...
Oh, I think suppose. Would be weird. I mean, if you're looking at it from a time perspective, and, you know, he could be ringing up for any point. Oh, that's a good point, I suppose. Yeah, okay. All right, I'll give you that.
I mean,
you know, Luke could answer the phone or something. It would be a nice little...
Yeah, well, that's true.
Personally,
I bet Clyde's mum would adopt them both, because she seemed really nice. What? She did.
But no, we'll get on to this, because this is one of my main things with the Sarah Jane Adventures, is Clyde is such a good character, a really good character, and you can see him fitting in to as a real companion for the Doctor a couple of years down the line.
Yeah, true.
It would be an easy reference to put in then.
Yes, where it would be like, an easy reference.
You were raised by Sarah Jane, not as your mum, but you were one of the children that were brought up fighting monsters and stuff like that. Yeah, welcome aboard. Come on, join us.
Yeah.
And then you could have a moment where Clyde's like,
Sarah Jane,
where were you at the funeral or something like that? That would be a really powerful moment, I think.
Yes, I think that's something they could actually squeeze. Yeah, we could actually write in, to be honest. And I think that's probably something that will come up at some point in the future. But I think, as I say, referring to it in the same kind of breath as the Brigadier would have been a little bit too much for the Who universe to take.
Well, it wouldn't have made any sense either, because it would have happened while before the Sarah Jane Adventures came out. So that would have been...
Which is a bit of a shame that they didn't do last season's The Death of the Doctor. They didn't do that this season. That would have been quite a nice episode if they tied it in during while Doctor Who's on.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, oh, the Doctor is dying.
Yes, that's
And then
true.
it would have been quite interesting to tie that in as well. And then the Doctor turns up during it and goes, but it's not quite yet.
Yeah.
It's due soon, but not yet.
He does spend 200 years, apparently, just wandering around and...
Farting about
before realising actually, oh, you know, I don't have to die and things like that. But then we're going back to the Wedding of River Song there, so we're not talking about Sarah Jane.
Okay, so favourite memories of Liz Sladen then?
I don't have any memories of Liz Sladen, because I've only seen her on Doctor Who. See, this is the thing. I mean, I don't know. When you hear that somebody has died...
That you don't know personally.
You know, I kind of think, but if you know them as a celebrity, and obviously, you know, you've got this kind of fondness for Sarah Jane and therefore Liz Sladen.
Yes.
But, you know, I wouldn't say that, although it was kind of like, oh crap, no way, really? You know, it wasn't just, I think it's kind of almost takes it away from her family and stuff to say that you are mourning, or that you would be crushed if so, you know, or you'd be in pieces, like you said just now, like you said, which I don't think I did say, but but to say that you know, it's kind of like, well, you don't know them, and I think it's kind of, I don't know, it just strikes me as weird that you'd be that affected by it. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes. It's an after effect, though, of kind of like putting yourself in the public eye, especially when you're loved. You know, if you're in the public eye for a good reason, in essence, not necessarily, you know, being remembered as, like, you know, a mass murderer or anything isn't exactly...
No. They're not going to elicit much
No, exactly. But if you're, you know, if you're remembered as like a Doctor Who, a very affectionate Doctor Who companion, one of the ones that most people mention when you mention classic Doctor Who. So there's a sense of familiarity there. And then, of course...
Yeah, but I think people need to, you know, I think people need to realise that it's a perceived familiarity from your point of view.
Yes.
And, you know, I know some people say that they cry and things like that. You just think, well, I don't know. It just strikes me as a bit disrespectful to the family and to the person to cry over someone you've never met. Do you see what I mean? I don't know. I think I'm just cold-hearted and evil.
I can see it. It's kind of an extension of if you watch someone on television and you feel you know them through watching them on television, and then you bump into them in the street, and you feel like, oh yeah, I can just go up and say hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Steve, and they're like, who the what?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you wouldn't call anybody else by their first name. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, is that Mrs. such and such? But apparently, that's okay because you've seen them on TV. So, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, most people's reaction isn't that, though. I mean, you get the brazen people who do go up there and kind of go, oh, you know, call them by their first name and say, you know, why don't you... In essence, it's kind of starting a conversation as if they know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
But most people, I think, in the real world are kind of like, oh, you know, there's Elizabeth Slater, or, you know, there's Matt Smith.
And then they go, woo!
And then, yeah, and then they either go, ooh, and then they kind of like think of some reason to go up to them or, you know, try to have a conversation. I think 9 times out of 10, the first line is probably won't be, hey, Matt, how's it going? You know what I mean? It's going to be, excuse me, are you Matt Smith? Or are you, you know, such and such.
That must be a really weird question to have. Hi, are you Gemma Nichols?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's a good opening kind of,
yeah. Can you not tell?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's just general politeness, really. But as I say, you know, when you put yourself in the public eye like that, and it's certainly something that Elizabeth Sladen didn't shy away from, because, you know, she's always been a kind of like very open to the fans and things like that. I mean, I've been flicking through the latest Doctor Who magazine, which is an Elizabeth Sladen memorial issue, and there's lots of many people giving their own memories of her from all fields and. Bits and pieces and everything else, from Old Who to Sarah Jane to everything else. And most of the people coming back were kind of like, you know, she was really, really good about playing Sarah Jane. She didn't shy away from, you know, try and get away from the role when she
was. Well, no, clearly not. She was like, yeah, I'm coming back.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. You know, it's a character that she obviously loved playing a lot. And it's, as I say, something that she obviously relished coming back to do. I mean, you know, she must have done a little jump for joy when Russell first rang her up for a school reunion and just said, you know, would you be interested in coming back? It's like, yeah, of course I would.
It's not just that, though, because a few years before they did school reunion and then moved on to do the Sarah Jane Adventures, she came back and did 2 seasons with Big Finish for Sarah Jane.
She did, yes.
Which is a really good listen.
Yes, exactly.
Really good listen. The second series isn't as good because it falls into the Big Finish trap of everything needs to be tied in.
Mm.
Everything has to revolve around the same story, and then you kind of get to the finale, which is a bit poor.
I think,
but,
yeah, go on.
Or the characterisation within it. Sarah Jane is still Sarah Jane. It follows directly on. Oh, of course, we've got K-9 and Company, which she came back to do as well.
Yes. Which I haven't seen.
No.
I did request that we watch it tonight. We have just watched The Hand of Fear, by the way, to get ourselves pumped up for this. Not pumped up, but that's the wrong way of doing it.
No.
But we decided to watch.
I think there could have been three episodes we could have gone with. Was either The Hand of Fear, Sarah's finale. Mm-hmm. We could have done School Reunion as her coming back with 10. Or we could have done her first story. The Sontaran one that I'm struggling to.
Time Warrior.
I think we could have gone with Time Warrior.
I like Time Warrior.
I quite like the fact. This leads me on actually to something I was going to mention. The fact that for the DVD release of this final series of Sarah Jane Adventures, they are actually putting Pyramids of Mars.
Oh.
On the DVD.
Oh wow.
So hang on, you can buy that DVD and get a free Doctor Who.
Yes.
And how much do they charge for Pyramids of Mars DVDs?
Well, to be fair, the final series of Sarah Jane Adventures is just 3 stories.
Yeah, fair enough.
To be honest. But the fact that they've actually thought through it and they've put Pyramids of Mars on there, which I think is a fantastic...
I like Pyramids of Mars.
Yes, exactly. It's a fantastic story. It's a fantastic Sarah Jane story. Yeah. And it's also, you know, you can always look at it as a kind of like way to kind of like sneak Classic Who in the back door for the little kids that are just watching Sarah Jane.
It's dark, though.
Oh, by the way.
It's a bit dark for kids, especially with that season of Sarah Jane. They were starting to look at it and go, right, okay, these kids that we introduced 5 years ago,
yes,
are getting a bit old now.
Growing up, yeah.
They've got to start going off to university like we did with Luke and things like that. I mean, Clyde's in sixth form now and things like that. So I think next year would have been his university year anyway.
Mm.
So he probably wouldn't have made it past this year, I don't think, unless he'd stayed on as a grown-up, like a struggling artist or something like that. But they were really trying to bring it back to being a kids' TV, which is why they introduced
Sky,
who's, what, 13, 14, something like that?
12.
I think it's more about 12, 11 or 12. To be
honest. Can see, unless you watch, say, The Invasion of the Bane, and then flip on to, like, season 5 that we've just watched, you can't, because we've watched them every year, or I've watched them every year, you've kind of seen them grow up. Excuse me.
Harry Potter style.
Yeah. And it's quite a stark contrast when they introduce Sky and she's so young, mixing with these,
teenagers,
young adults.
Essentially, yeah.
And then there's a moment where Luke's, in the last episode, Luke is saying to Sky, oh, well, no, you're just a kid. I've been doing this for years. You stay there. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, but 5 years ago you were doing the same thing. Yeah. But I think this is more Sarah Jane Adventures area.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
But what I'm saying with Pyramids of Mars, it's a very, very dark story.
Yeah,
For kids. But then again, it was made back then.
Yeah,
it was made for kids and families to watch together.
Yeah. I think people worry too much about kids being scared.
Yes, I think they. Yeah,
you know what's going to happen? Right. They're going to have a couple of nightmares. You're not going to scare scar them for life.
This is a classic Doctor Who argument, though, isn't it? It's kind of like, is it too scary for kids? I mean, you know,
balls.
Yeah,
is it?
I mean, Doctor Who may have given me a few nightmares, and I may have seen Tom Baker's face in my curtains at night. But it's just all part of growing up, though, isn't it? Really,
it's fine because. You know, if you have a nightmare about something in Doctor Who, and I've had them, like, previously, when I was younger.
Well, you had them a few years ago. I remember you telling me about a Cyberman dream you had.
Yes! Yeah, I did. Yeah, see, I still have nightmares. But yeah, I remember one really, really particularly when I was about 10 or 9 or 10, and there was one where there were Cybermen marching down my street, where I lived at the time. And, you know, I was going, oh my God, oh my God. And I was the only one who knew what they were. And everyone else thought it was some kind of carnival. And they were all going, oh, we'll go out and see. And I'm like, no, stay in the house. You know,
that's giving me chills just you describing that. I can really remember that,
like, really well. But, you know, then the doctor turns up. It's all good. I think people worry too much about it.
Yeah, of course. It's a safe way to be scared at the end of the day.
Yes.
Really. I'd rather be scared, rather have a nightmare about Doctor Who than someone breaking into my flat and stabbing me while I sleep.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. You know
definitely,
what I mean?
Definitely. If I could choose one of those two things, that's the one it
exactly.
would be.
One of the things just before Doctor Who came back on the air, one of the big... you kind of got a few things that are synonymous with Doctor Who. You've got Daleks, you've got the TARDIS, you've got the Doctor... And then you've got hiding behind the sofa.
Mm.
That's what everyone says. And it's a massive pop culture reference.
Oh, it is.
Whether it's true or not.
It's bollocks because everyone's sofa is up against the wall.
Yes.
Isn't it? Mine was. Yours is. Ours is now.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't when I was a kid. But
yeah.
They lie.
Yeah.
But it was, even if it's not true, whatever. It's like the wobbly sets thing. It's kind of ingrained into people that Doctor Who is scary.
Yeah.
And it's scary for kids.
Scary for kids, yes.
Which is good for
kids. Curse of Fenrir used to freak me the hell out. It didn't help. Yeah. And my grandparents used to live above a funeral parlour, so I was kind of, you know, it was just down the stairs.
It's a good job. I'm quite dead one out then.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So when they kind of all start coming and, you know, I'm just like, there are dead people downstairs. You know,
I mean, the way I've always thought about it, it's almost a rite of passage, to be honest. As a kid growing up with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
To, like, want to be watching Doctor Who as you're growing up, which I think a lot of people obviously missed out on in the
90s. Yeah, I feel sorry for them.
And I do feel sorry for them because they haven't got a Doctor, really.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody else kind of grew up with a Doctor. I mean, not necessarily you, Gemma, because you were born about 2 years before it cancelled. But
yeah. But I still watched a lot of Sylvester McCoy first, because as a kid... His stories were the most up-to-date, the easiest ones to get into as a kid and watch.
So you still kind of had him as your doctor.
I would say that Sylvester McCoy is my doctor. He's not necessarily my favourite, but actually I don't really have a favourite. They're all marvellous.
Yeah, but that Pandora opens...
Oh, the Pandorica, yes.
Have we talked about this yet?
Sylvester McCoy defends the Pandorica on YouTube. You probably have all seen it.
It's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, YouTube, Sylvester McCoy, the Pandorica opens.
Mm.
You'll probably find it. There's many different versions of it. They're all good.
Yeah.
So
okay, so back to Elizabeth Sladen. Back to Sarah Jane. Sladen. Okay, so I'll rephrase my first question. What are your favourite memories of Sarah Jane Smith?
I like her in Robot. Because... Mm-hmm. I can remember her wonderful lapels and how lovely she looked in that suit and just thinking, yeah, she's cool. Yeah, in Robot she was pretty awesome. And Ragdoll Sarah as well. That's quite sweet.
Ragdoll Sarah,
yeah.
Personally, as a male of the species, what we just watched, Hand of Fear, Elizabeth Sladen playing... Okay, sorry about that.
Something weird happened there.
Wrong with technicality. So I was saying...
Okay,
we'll try that. Okay, let's hope this works this time. Right, okay.
Keep an eye on the light. If the light goes out, we're screwed.
It's not charging while it's plugged in, which is strange. Okay, this is the one and only edit we've had to do. I do apologise about this.
It's not exactly an edit, is it, really?
Well, no, I'll edit that.
Oh, okay.
I think. I'll see if I can be bothered. Yeah, I'll remember.
Is it really dead, is it?
No, it's just not charging as it's recording. Okay.
This isn't good audio, people. Welcome back.
Sorry about the edit.
We're having a bit of technical difficulties here, but hopefully they'll resolve themselves.
So we were talking about Elizabeth Sladen and her lapels, and then we moved on.
Yes, to the Hand of Fear. To Hand of Fear. So, as a male of the species, Elizabeth Sladen playing Sarah Jane possessed.
In an Andy Pandy outfit.
Gets me. Oh, it doesn't have to be in the Andy Pandy outfit. I do like the Andy Pandy outfit, don't get me wrong. But the stares she gives camera and things like that. I think if she'd played a villain, I think she would have been good at it.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, just...
That's a good point. Has anybody got any memories of seeing Elizabeth Sladen in anything else non-Doctor Who related?
No.
Because she was in Corrie, apparently.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've never watched Coronation Street.
No, neither have I. But flicking through the latest Doctor Who mag, I've touched on the biography slightly. I didn't really want to do a big biography of Elizabeth Sladen.
You can get them in more proper podcasts.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody's going to be doing...
Right, okay, back again. Sorry about this.
Technical issues.
Yeah, so you were saying about Elizabeth Sladen's biography, you were looking into it.
Yes. As I said, I've skimmed over it slightly in the magazine. I haven't read it fully yet, but there is some. She did star in Corrie for a little while, and there's a little bit of her kind of early acting career and things like that. But I was just wondering whether anybody else has any memories, because we've only got memories of Elizabeth Sladen as Sarah Jane Smith. I think this is what I'm getting to, really. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've never really seen Elizabeth Sladen actually play
as
anybody else.
No.
So, I'm sure as an actress her talents would be up for it. I'm not saying that she can just play Sarah Jane Smith. I'm sure she was a very versatile actress. But we can't really give our opinions on her as an actress.
No.
Because we've only seen her
play one character.
As Sarah Jane.
From what I can remember people saying is that she was a theatre actress.
Yes.
That's what she moved on to do.
Yes.
I think it would be quite easy to be typecast. Yeah. After playing the Doctor's Companion
for so long.
And such a well-known Doctor
as
Tom Baker. Because she was there at the beginning when he regenerated.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
true.
I think she's really the only one that actually managed to get on with him, wasn't she?
I think you're right, yes.
I've got a feeling.
Apart from Lala Ward, of course.
Oh, well,
got
yes.
Got on with him slightly better.
Slightly.
For a few years.
For a few years at least, yes. Yes.
Yeah. So no, I've not seen her in actually anything else at all. But which then, is quite sad, really. I'll have to look it up on YouTube.
It's sad in a way, but it's also good in another way, because we know her forever as Sarah Jane.
Yes.
Elizabeth Sladen will always
be
Sarah
Jane. And
when
did we all start calling her Sarah Jane?
Press record. Oh, modern technology.
Hey, that's what you get when you update, see?
All right, okay. Well, sorry about all these edits and things. We just had a problem with my generic MP3 player.
Your iPod died.
Yes, my iPod died.
You can say iPod. Your iPod died.
A terrible death.
And now we're using this...
For reference,
we're using an iPhone.
People, we are using a iPod.
Docking station mixing desk. It's better than it sounds. Trust me, this is a neat bit of kit.
It is a nice bit
Probably
of
people
kit, yeah.
who understand sound and things like that probably don't think I'm optimising the levels properly, which is true, because I don't know what I'm doing. If someone wants to come over and show me sometime, then yeah.
Well, I think the levels are fine. I've listened back to a few of these. They seem fine to me.
But yeah, it might be a little bit different. The sound quality might have changed since the first half.
Because you've just plugged in your iPhone.
Yes.
Rather than your iPod.
It's just things with I in front of it.
Yeah,
just...
exactly. Anything with I in front of it. Right.
Yeah.
Now, if we can remember where we were, because that was about 5 minutes ago. Quick recap.
You were talking about how... basically you two were just going...
Timer.
Four of Sarah Jane. Yes, I will resume the timer. Yes.
And quite rightly so.
And quite rightly
so. Lovely little
even present day... Sarah Jane Adventures, she was still a hottie.
True, yeah.
She's very much so.
She's aged a lot better than Katie Manning.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. Nothing against Katie Manning herself. Mm. She's got a lovely smile, and I would definitely tap that.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
You're awful.
But you have to admit, Elizabeth Sladen has aged a bit better than Katie Manning.
So you were talking about her acting,
yes.
Oh, yes.
The point that I did actually want to raise before, when Gemma was talking about the power, well, in essence, the power of a character when you put a character out there. And obviously that Elizabeth Sladen had such fun playing the role, she was all too happy to go back to it and expand the character. And it reminds me, actually, of, once again, crowbarring a Star Trek reference into a Doctor Who podcast. Shocking though it is. But it always reminds me of Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
Because you had two characters in Deep Space Nine. You had Martok and Garak, who aren't really weren't even main characters. They were supporting characters. But both of them had books written after the series ended that continued their character story, written by the actor who played them, because of the effect that character had on them. Because a lot of actors have said sometimes you play a character that just gets under your skin.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you really emphasise with that character.
Empathise
with that character.
Emphasise
and empathise. All right. I got a D in English, I think. Anyway. But yes, it's basically coming back to the whole thing about some actors really, really love playing a certain character.
Yes.
And it's the same analogy with the Deep Space Nine thing, because Andrew Robinson loved playing Garak so much he went and wrote a book about the character because there were a lot of questions that weren't answered. And I think there is the same thing with Elizabeth Sladen, with Sarah Jane Smith. The character obviously had a very big impact on her. It really helped her acting career. No end.
Yes.
I mean, you know, she may have been slightly typecast after playing a Doctor Who companion, but then most people are. I mean, people playing the Doctor can't usually get very good work after they've played the Doctor, especially if they've done it for a long time. I mean, that's one of the reasons why Tom Baker didn't really want to go back to anything Doctor Who related for a very, very long time, because he wanted to shake off the scarf. Because
you just get some people who are like, yes, this is fabulous, I love it, I'm doing it again at the first opportunity. And then you get some people who are like, no,
I never want to do that
way
again.
If anyone talks to me about this, I'm not speaking to them.
Which I always think is a
go
bit
to a
weird.
Convention hell
yeah,
no
exactly. I always think it's a bit weird though, because I mean you can give them, granted that would probably been a surprise when Doctor Who first started, but by the time you get to the mid 70s, especially when you get to Pertwee,
you
time,
know what you're letting yourself
you
in for,
you know what
surely.
You're letting yourself in for, exactly. And I think you know, people like Elizabeth Sladen and Katie Manning and people like that, and Tom Baker himself knew what they were getting in for. And they were new, you know, Tom Baker obviously was in it for the long haul. Sorry, Chris is distracting me now.
Oh, I do apologize.
You're just staring.
I was just trying to work something out, because we've got this lovely poster up on the wall of all of the Doctors and what episodes they've done.
Yes.
Right.
And on that theme of how long they played the characters and stuff like that, Sarah Jane was in 17 stories.
Right.
18 if you include School Reunion.
Yes.
Yep.
Then she had all of the Sarah Jane Adventures.
All of Sarah Jane Adventures,
plus K-9 and Company.
Yes.
If you put all them together,
she's the longest running companion.
But also, she had more airtime than a few of the Doctors.
That's true.
Yes.
Just original series stories, not including the five Doctors.
Yes.
As well, she had more... She had more airtime than Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy and Paul McGann and Christopher Eccleston.
Mm-hmm.
If you include the Sarah Jane Adventures and all the other bits she's done, I think
it's probably come up to Tom Baker kind of level.
Yeah,
to be
you're
honest.
Probably past Patrick Troughton and Peter Davison there,
and
Matt Smith now.
Mm.
She's definitely could be more iconic than a lot of the Doctors.
Than the Doctor, yeah,
especially
exactly.
For people who grew up. The kind of generation of, oh, Tom Baker's my doctor, because everyone's doctor's Tom Baker.
Yes.
She was on the cusp of that. She did about four or five stories before he took over, and then three, four seasons into Tom Baker. So if you watched Tom Baker, then more than likely you would have caught
Sarah Jane. Yes.
Very iconic.
I think. I mean, like I was saying, when I was a kid and I was watching old Sylvester McCoy videos and things.
Yes.
Then, if it wasn't Sylvester McCoy, it was Tom Baker. And if it was Tom Baker...
It was usually Sarah
It
Jane.
Was, well, by and large, Sarah Jane. And actually, I'm trying to think of... Obviously, I've seen them all now, but I'm just trying to think of when I was a kid, if there was any other one companion that really...
Exactly.
And I don't think there was.
No.
Not another one if you pick up a Tom Baker story, chances are...
It's probably going to have Sarah
probably,
Jane.
You know, if it's an earlier one, it's going to have Sarah Jane in it. You're not going to be able to pick up that many stories with any other companion in.
Yeah, that's
so
what I
think.
I mean,
she has.
Well, I think the only other companion that surpasses her for that era would be Jamie. Mm,
yes.
He's I think, was it 20 episodes? Because he's there at the first.
20 stories.
20 stories, sorry. Is he there at the start of... No, he's not there at the start of Patrick Troughton, but it's the second one, the Highlanders.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 19 stories all the way up to the War Games,
mm-hmm.
which is a long story. You can probably count that as two, because it's
eight
parts.
That means you've got a 99% chance if you pick up a Troughton story, it's going to have Jamie in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, very, yeah.
I love Jamie.
Really?
The first one doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
The first Troughton story doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, true. You can get it on audio, though.
Yeah,
because I have listened to it. Yes, one thing I was going to say.
Power of the Daleks.
Yeah, one thing I was going to say. There are certain Doctors who when you first time you think of him, you think of a companion. Even if that Doctor has had many different companions. Yeah. I think of John Pertwee, I think of Joe Grant.
Yes.
You know?
Mm. Even though he had Liz and Sarah.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely don't relate Sarah to John Pertwee, even though she's in quite a few stories, but...
The weird thing is, you think of Troughton and you think of Susan.
Really?
I do.
Oh, I think of Jamie,
to be honest. No, not Troughton.
No, I was going to say.
Hartnell, sorry.
Yes, Hartnell.
Yeah, you think of Susan, but actually... Not,
oh, he went through a lot.
You know,
Convention.
He went through a hell of a lot of companions.
It's the 10th story.
Ben and Polly and everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. This is the funny thing, though, isn't it? That's what I mean. I mean, I think of Tom Baker. I think of Sarah Jane. Even though we had Romana.
Yeah.
We had two versions of Romana.
Leela.
You know.
Yeah.
We had. I mean, at the end, he was picking up Adric and Harry as well, and
Nyssa, Tegan. Yeah. Exactly. That was the very, very, very end.
Yes.
But, you know, yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, when you think of Davison's Doctor, I automatically think of the three, to be honest. I can't think of a companion on their own. I think of Nyssa, Tegan and Adric.
Well, that is them, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I know, although you get Turlough towards the end.
Although you get Turlough towards the end, but I still think of those three. You think of Sylvester McCoy, you think Ace.
Yes.
And you know? Colin Baker, Perry.
With Perry, yes.
I think Mel.
So sorry, Mel.
Yes.
To the back.
It's basically because we hate you.
But I mean, let's not get onto
Mel bashing.
we don't hate Sarah Jane. Well, let's bring it back.
No, exactly.
We hate Mel, but Sarah Jane is marvellous.
Also, when we were sat down watching The Hand of Fear,
mm-hmm.
Something struck me, and it's been a long time since...
That biscuit I threw at you from across the way.
But it's been a long time since this type of thing did... The feeling that I got from watching Doctor Who... Well, let's explain what I'm talking about. Back when I was a kid watching Doctor Who, and this is still like early teens when John Pertwee stories were coming on the TV again and things like that, there was definitely a feeling of the Doctor isn't the person you're with. You are with the companion.
The companion is the audience's eyes.
Yeah, that's the person you relate to. And the Doctor is this really weird, distant person who is the hero of the story, but it's not the person that you're following the story with. I don't think you get that now with modern Who.
This is what I was just about to say. A good companion is a good mouthpiece for the audience, but not a stupid mouthpiece, to be honest. If they've got a personality and they can actually, you know, because it's the old horror film trope of kind of like, you know, why the hell do you run upstairs when the killer calls and says, you know what I mean?
Because you can't get out from upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally.
It's kind of like, it's that whole thing of shouting at the screen, don't go up there, you stupid woman. And it's... The companion has the same kind of thing, essentially. He's supposed to be your audience. You're supposed to empathise with the victim in any kind of... In a horror film, you're supposed to empathise with the victim.
Yeah.
So you shout at the telly when the victim does something stupid because you wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
In Doctor Who, the companion is supposed to be the audience. So if the companion is stupid, it's implying
that the audience
you can't empathise with it. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if a companion is memorable...
Yeah.
And if a companion has, you know, a decent character, like Sarah Jane...
You know what I think it is? Sarah Jane manages... to ask the same questions over and over again, but because she's so good at it, you don't actually notice.
Yes, exactly.
Because there are some companions, and I think actually probably Nyssa is one of them, which just sticks out for me top of my head.
Go on.
Who every single question is just the same.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Although I do like Nyssa.
I like Nyssa, but just off the top of my head is the first one I can think of that, you know, strikes me.
Yes.
But, you know, it's kind of every question is just like, oh, what's that? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. What is this? Whereas Sarah goes on for so long, so she must be good at asking the questions, because otherwise she'd start to grate.
She's a journalist,
and in the end, you just.
The thing.
Yeah. But I mean, Elizabeth Sladen was good at asking the questions in a different way every time.
Yeah, exactly. As an actress.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, a question goes in a good in the same way. But if you got to the end of Liz Sladen's run as Sarah, and she'd asked the same questions in the same way every episode for God knows how many years, you'd just be like, oh, please,
get rid of her. Well, now we're getting into Mel territory there, I think.
That's the one.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good example of coming.
So she's got to have been good at doing that, because you don't even notice that she's asking the questions half the time, but she is.
Mm. I mean, as we said before, I think, you know, Elizabeth Schladen was one of the few people who actually got on with Tom Baker.
Yeah, that probably
to
helps.
To be honest. But again, that also helps if you've got a chemistry on set. We've mentioned it before, you know, Billy Piper and David Tennant were fantastic together. They had a really good chemistry.
I think towards the end as well, because at the very beginning, I liked Sarah Jane because... I'm going to call her Sarah, because in Doctor Who she was always Sarah.
Yeah.
We never called her Sarah Jane until...
No, that's
well, Sarah Jane the final words that Tom Baker says to her.
Goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, Sarah.
Goodbye, Sarah. Yeah. Until I see you again or something.
Yeah, until we meet again.
Although the final words the Doctor says to her is, goodbye, my Sarah Jane.
Yeah,
but I think that's something that
that's 10. Sorry, I'm not counting 11. He did actually speak to her. Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's definitely something that evolved.
Yes.
That kind
Sarah
of...
Sarah Jane thing,
Russell T Davis brought it in as, she is Sarah Jane.
She's Sarah Jane. She's
and when did
Sarah,
it become hyphenated? Was it originally hyphenated or not?
I think so.
Really?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think it was originally hyphenated. I think it was her middle name. And then it became hyphenated once she came back.
Yeah.
I always got the impression that in the Sarah Jane Adventures, because actually somebody in the Sarah Jane Adventures has called her Sarah before, and she goes, do not call me Sarah, I'm Sarah Jane.
Really?
And I think it's got to be because the Doctor called her Sarah.
Possibly,
and then
yes.
when she comes out of that, she's like, oh no, that's the Doctor's name for me. Yeah, maybe before she met the Doctor, she was called Sarah Jane by everybody.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
She was the only one that got away with it. So afterwards, she's like, right, I'm having my name back.
Or Old Bird.
Yeah. Or Old Bird.
Old Bird. Old Thing.
Yeah.
Old See, that was another really good relationship that you can see on screen.
Yes.
Between whether it was Elizabeth Sladen and the chap who played her.
I was waiting to see if you knew the name. But
no, people must know by now. I'm terrible at names.
Mm-hmm.
whether that was a good relationship with them or whether it was just good writing. Because
To be honest,
I think it's quite difficult to find good writing.
Good drama is a combination of both, though.
I think good constant characterisation within Doctor Who, when you have such a turnover of actors. See how I've dug myself back out of the hole here?
Yes, indeed.
That could have been quite messy.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to get constant, continuous, good camaraderie with characters that aren't the Doctor and Companion.
Yes.
Because anyone could write the Doctor and Companion. It's when you're writing two companions.
Yes.
Mm. I think you really need either a good Bible or a good structured relationship.
Mm.
So I just wanted to bring up the Harry... Sarah.
I do think there was a pretty horrible side effect with having Harry, though. And that was, at the very beginning, when Sarah came in, she was very, you know, well, stay here, Sarah. No, I don't really think so.
Yeah.
You know, and she would go off and do her own thing. I think when Harry came along, much as I love Harry, and I really like those two together, I remember quite often, and I used to, and I've actually switched off before, and it's the writing, it's not her, you know, I've actually switched off before because I can't stand any more screaming
she
from Sarah.
Damsel, doesn't she?
She definitely, and it just seems to be, it's particularly in, you know, the ones where, you know, the ones on the Ark in space with the ring and things, and Genesis of the Daleks, she screams an awful amount. And I remember my mum walking into the front room once and going, oh God, is she screaming again? And she just walked straight back out. And I was like, yeah, she is. And you know what? I can't stand it anymore either. But, you know, it seemed to be just when Harry was there, because him and the Doctor were so go-getty, if they were all like that, it would have just been a bit much.
Yeah, yeah. True. I mean,
it was a horrible side effect for her, because that's not how her character started. And
it's not how,
as we've just
finished.
Watched the very last one,
and
you know, he says, "Oh, the Doctor said you should stay here." And she goes, "Yeah, yeah, I should."
Well, he restrains,
but
her.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Shoves him out the way and goes.
Exactly.
So she obviously went back to that after Harry left.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to be, although I really liked those two together, and I love Harry, and I love the whole old girl thing, and she does have a bit of a bitching about that occasionally. I think it was a bit of a bad
side
effect.
Is it just the
side
effect of the sausage fest, though? Really?
Well, no, I think
to be honest,
if people don't know about the archetype for that season of Doctor Who when Harry came into it, the regeneration of John Pertwee was going to happen. This is how I understand it from what people have told me. So we're getting the regeneration of John Pertwee. And they were going to go for another older actor to carry on that line, because it had been quite older gentlemen up to that point. So they knew if they got the person they wanted to get, he wouldn't be able to do the physical side that we'd got used to with John Pertwee. So they needed a young male that would make sense. He could do the running,
the
jumping.
The action man, essentially.
Yeah, that was Harry's role. So once you've got, right, okay, so we've got the Doctor who's... the lead. He's the brains of the operation. Then we've got Harry, who's going to be
the
runaround guy. But he's also a doctor, so he's got a bit of a heart as well. And then we've got this girl, Sarah Jane, who's been in it for a while. We can't just dump her straight away. And we need a female for the dads. We need someone who looks good. So what does she do in this? What's her job here?
She screams.
Oh, well, yeah, she gets kidnapped and gets screamed.
Yeah.
And I think that's how they set about going, right, okay, we're reimagining it. We're going back into space.
Yeah.
The first season, they don't step foot on Earth.
Yeah.
Well, they do in Sontaran stratagem. Yeah. They turn up, and then in the last Harry episode with the...
Loch Ness Monster and the Zygon.
Yes. They go back to Earth then. You haven't seen the Zygons?
No.
Oh, that's a funny one. Yeah. The glove puppet dinosaur is absolutely freaking hilarious. But no, it's a good one. I like that.
But yeah, I think that's what they went back. All right, okay, right. We're redesigning it. We're going to reset button. That's it.
Yeah.
Back into space. Yeah. Get rid of UNIT. We need to get him away from that. And he's the adventurer now.
Yeah.
And then that was a byproduct of it. But once they figured out, well, we've now got Tom Baker.
Yeah.
He can do as much running around.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, we don't need Harry anymore, which I loved Harry. I thought he was brilliant.
Oh, yeah, definitely. As a character, he's fantastic.
Maybe. I think because most of the male companions, except for Adric...
Mm.
As a bloke, I think they're more relatable for me than the female companions.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I really like Jamie. I really like Harry. Oh, Adric was just... I didn't know a lot
Well,
about
he's not
Adric.
A man, he's a boy.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Rory, I really like Rory.
Yes.
And Mickey was good. So it was nice to have
companions. I don't want to use a cliche term, but a bloke with balls...
Mm.
Essentially, is what makes a good male companion.
Yeah.
But a girl with balls is even better, to be honest with
you. Yeah, really. River Song, Ace.
Because, exactly. We're so used to...
You just look at Sarah Jane from the episode from The Hand of Fear that we've just watched.
Yes.
Look at Sarah Jane from The Time Warrior. Look at Sarah Jane from The Sarah Jane Adventures. I'm calling her Sarah Jane again.
Mandragora.
I thought it was Mandragora.
No, I don't think so.
My bad.
Answers on a postcard.
Yeah, you'll be spelling it the same way anyway. So it doesn't
matter. That's true.
And then just think of that character, and then go right now. Imagine her screaming.
Hmm. It doesn't work.
You just don't. And I don't know where they got it from. Where they suddenly pulled it out of their ass that she'd suddenly start screaming at every tiny... You know, she's only got to fall down a bank and she's yelling.
There's some nice characterisation in those episodes.
Oh, the five doctors falling off the abyss.
Oh, you've got to
love that.
Oh no, a slight incline.
It's a slight incline, yes.
I think that is more due to... Yeah, we've got this set up.
Isn't that one of those famous...
We can't find a cliff.
Yeah, isn't that one of those famous Doctor Who stories when the director goes, no, fine, when we look at it on film, it will look like an abyss.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Okay, should we get on to the five doctors then?
No. I don't want to talk about the five. I don't like the five doctors. It's awful.
Not even from Sarah Jane's perspective. Okay, well, before that, we've got K-9 and Company.
Yes.
Because she receives K-9 before five doctors, because in five doctors, you do see her with K-9 saying, oh, no, you've got to stay here.
Yeah.
A lovely pink Mac.
So in the timeline of companions, in Sarah Jane's personal timeline compared to the doctor, so we get K-9 and Company, which is a very failed kids' TV show pilot. Yeah, it's got its place. I really wanted to
watch that tonight, but you wouldn't let me. I'm going to have to watch it after you guys have gone.
Yeah, you will.
Because you refuse to watch it again.
I do remember watching it and being like, oh, Liz Sladen is so good. I like Sarah Jane. I like K-9. Why is everything else so crap?
They can do it now.
But again, I mean, there's no other companion that I can think of that the BBC, that was strong enough for BBC executives to go, this person can carry their own show. Even back in K-9 and Company was done.
But that's K-9.
True.
It's named K-9 and Company.
True, that's
it's
true.
Not it's not the Elizabeth Staden Shadine.
And actually, they really missed a trick there, didn't they? They should not have gone for K-9. They should have gone for Sarah.
Yeah, yeah. And you can see that now.
Yeah.
With
they must
5 years.
Themselves.
A kids' TV show that lasts 5 years.
Mm.
It's pretty good.
The only thing after that is Grange Hill and stuff like that, more soap opera type.
To be honest, when I first heard that the Sarah Jane Adventures was coming out, I thought it was a ridiculous idea. I was going to say a stupid idea, but a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
I really thought that Russell was trying to get as much money as he possibly could by going out in two separate directions.
He was.
One with, and one with Sarah Jane Adventures. And I really
that probably was the reason, but it was a good outcome.
But I really thought it was diluting Who, and it was kind of like, oh, it's going to make it mass market, people are going to be sick of it and things like that, but...
Mm.
give him his due.
And it's definitely a very different beast.
Yes,
isn't it? and you can watch one without the other.
Yes.
And
exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's watching it now. I was going to say before, the Sarah Jane Adventures is designed to be watched by children.
Mm.
And the Sarah Jane Adventures is the program Doctor Who would be if Doctor Who was a kid show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because Doctor Who is not a kid show. I'm fed up with people referring to it as a kid show. It's not a kid show. If it was a kid show, it would look like the Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. It's family entertainment.
It's exactly. Doctor Who is family entertainment. Sarah Jane Adventures, you watch it, it's definitely, it's designed towards kids. Even though, you know, you have got a lead character who is a parent, but then you have to have that anyway. But she's a parent who emphasizes with kids. You know?
Empathises. You had it right the first time.
I had it right the first time, yes. Who understands kids.
Yes.
You know? And gets on with them and, you know.
But also,
even
though she doesn't start with...
She's
not a parent, you know. But she is, you know, she is in the series, but she's not perceived as a parent by the kids that she's with, to be honest.
They do work it very well with the kids do their equal share within the stories. It's not just Sarah Jane
just
coming
Sarah Jane,
in going, I'll do this, I'll do that, blah, 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 I win. It's the kids getting involved.
You know what? At the end of every series, she should have just gone, I win.
I win.
Oh, yes.
You lose.
Aliens, epic fail.
Yeah. She should have had a kind of like an 11th hour moment, to be honest, at some point.
It's just like, Sarah Jane defends the Pandora.
Hello, I'm Sarah Jane. Basically, run.
Oh, you know what? I think we're going to run out of time shortly, and I think we should do favourite Sarah moments, or favourite Sarah stories. Yeah, if you can recall.
Do you want to start with a classic, or do you want to bunch them all in together?
Well,
and pick
whatever you think. Whatever we think.
What first comes to mind when you think of Sarah Jane?
When I think of Sarah Jane, I think of Pyramids of Mars. I think of her coming out in the dress, and she. I don't know, Tom Baker says something and she goes, oh, I know you're a Time Lord. You know? I love that because she's just ripping the piss out of him. And he goes, oh, I'm almost 900 something. And she goes, oh, it's him in middle age. And I just love that. I love it. And she's just swallowing him. She's like, look, I found a pretty dress and I'm taking the mick out of you and this is awesome and I'm in a spaceship. It's just so much fun. I love that. The way she puts the little thing over her head and is like, oh, yes. I know. It's funny.
I think that with me is Sarah Jane. It's not a moment, a specific moment. It's her lambasting the Doctor.
Yes.
In kind of like the Hand of Fear, where she's like, Eldrad must live. And then she looks at him as if she's still there. It is just a quote fest. It's just like when she gets pulled out of the vent.
I was just about to say the Ark in Space.
I think you guys have talked about it, or we've talked about it before on a podcast. And
I love
he has to talk her, get annoyed enough to get through.
It's my favourite Sarah Jane moment. It's fantastic.
It's her relationship with Tom Baker.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, I haven't seen a lot of the stuff with her and John Pertwee.
No, neither
because
have I.
Because unfortunately, due to the release schedule with the DVDs,
we can only watch what's out.
Yeah,
unless you recorded it on UK Gold years ago, or you recorded it on UK Gold years ago.
Yeah, or you picked up the video.
Well, I
didn't.
Someone
like
did.
That.
No,
but
I found them.
Yeah, there's a lot of Sarah Jane that I haven't seen. But then, Planet of the Spiders. There's some great moments in there
as
well.
Yes, there is. Yes,
it's her. Not she doesn't always follow the Doctor.
No,
she does go off and do her own thing. And I mean, the first episode is her thinking the Doctor is the bad guy.
Yes.
And actually trying to fight him.
Yeah.
Which is just brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, and another bit that goes in with that, her having a go at the Doctor, is when at the end of the school reunion.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, okay, well, I'll see you later. And she's like, no, hang on a second. I want a proper goodbye
this time.
After you dropped me off last time, which I think is a bit... Because we just watched it, and he does say, goodbye, Sarah Jane.
Yes.
And she says, goodbye, Doctor. And that's what she says she doesn't get in the episode.
Mm.
She doesn't really get the goodbye, but... Mm. Anyway, but maybe her
she's
telling
just
him off and just going,
no,
hang on a second. It's one of those she's one of those companions that can tell the Doctor, look, stop being an arse.
Yeah.
And I don't think we got another one of those until Donna.
No,
not
that's
really.
True.
Not one that would actually go...
I think Ace came
apart
close, to be honest.
Oh, bloody hell. Romana, obviously.
Yes.
But then she was more
Ace was quite close, I think.
Ace came quite close.
But then she
was more
father figure.
Yes. Daddy issues.
True, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Ian, favourite moment?
Yes, well...
The vent.
We have always done the vent in the Ark in Space, and it is one of my all-time favourite Sarah Jane moments. But I have to say, seeing as how Chris has robbed that one for me, the other one that's popped into my head straight away is her first meeting with the Doctor and realizing he's the Doctor in school reunion. There's two actually episode in that episode. Ooh. One when she sees the TARDIS for the first time since she's actually she's left, like, and the look on her face is fantastic. And then she goes into the room and he's just standing there, and she instantly knows it's him.
Yeah.
Even though he's regenerated 5 or 6 times, she's kind of like, "It's you." "Hello, Sarah Jane," he says, and it still sends shivers down my spine. And she just there's just so much emotion in that in that scene. Even it's two people standing at opposite ends of a room, but there's so much emotion in that scene.
Yeah. I think
that they both bring to it.
Yes,
to be honest,
because obviously he's a fan.
Yeah, exactly.
So he loves Sarah as well.
Yeah,
like we all do.
It is somebody meeting an old friend.
I don't think I've ever met anyone who dislikes Sarah.
No,
you can meet pretty much anybody who will not like a certain companion.
Belle.
Yeah, but you know, you'll find people who probably don't like Barbara or that doesn't like, you know, Ace. Or so. You'll find somebody who doesn't like most companions, but I've never come across someone
who doesn't like Sarah Jane. No.
Okay, just to get him in quickly. So that, from a flip side, is when the Doctor's there and he's seen Sarah Jane.
Yes.
But he doesn't want to say anything to her. He doesn't want to say, I'm the Doctor. So she's just I knew a John Smith once and stuff like that.
The look on his face as
That's
he hilarious. Does look a bit like a fanboy who's just met, like...
Who's just met Elizabeth Slayer, exactly.
And then another moment that's just popped into my head, and this is all it's going to be now until we finish, because we're going to remember
it, don't we? Sarah Jane moments.
Five Doctors when she lands in the car, or John Pertwee picks her up, and she's like, "Oh, it's you! Oh, the last time I saw you, I was all hair and teeth." It's just so nice that she sees that Doctor again, and it's kind of like, "Oh, you're not. Oh, that's quite sweet.
You're not the same."
I really do like that bit.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just looking up at the thing there to see other.
I mean, we could just go through it and pick out stories.
Obviously, you've got to mention Pyramids of Mars. It's a fantastic.
Although,
one.
Actually, I say she does a lot of screaming in Genesis of the Daleks, and she does, but she does kind of lead a Khaled rebellion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When they're taking
and she goes up that
thing,
and she goes up the silo.
She screams a lot when she's going up there, but she does make it a hell of a way.
She is the one that's kind of like, "Oh, you guys don't have to put up with this shit. You know, we can escape from this."
It really is just a list. I mean, once you get out of, well, you got Terror of Zygon. Once you get through Terror of Zygon, which is a really good episode, then you've got
The Android.
Planet of Evil,
yeah.
Pyramids of Mars, yeah. The Android Invasion.
I like Android Invasion.
Brain of Morbius, Seeds of Doom, Mask of Mandragora,
The Hand of Fear.
I mean, they're just classics all the way
through. Seeds of Doom is a really good one.
Yeah, definitely. Seeds of Doom is really great. Yeah. And there's a lot of good villains in there.
Mm.
Things that haven't been reused that should be.
Yeah.
It just is a list of great episodes. I mean, on the other side, the John Pertwee side, it's not as good. But then you've got Planet of Spiders.
I really like Time Warrior.
Yeah, no, you've got Time Warrior and Planet of Spiders, but then you've got the ones that are a little bit less known.
It's a pity you've got Peladon in there, really.
Yeah, but I've not seen that Peladon one. The first Peladon one's a little bit...
Really?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
That's another one I haven't seen. I need to watch a lot more, don't we?
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that one.
You'll be honest.
Too much.
Oh, you still got to watch. Come on. I sat down and watched Warriors of the Deep.
I suppose.
Because of the Murker. Because it's mentioned so many times, you've got to watch it at least once, to be honest. Really.
Yeah.
Any other Sarah Jane moments? People? The one that comes to mind.
Just all of them.
Yeah, true. The one that comes to mind for me is Robot.
Mm.
Because it's her being a journalist.
Yeah, yes. actually doing what she should be doing.
And breaking back in and infiltrating things. Actually, her and the Doctor spend a lot of that time apart.
Yes.
And that's the good thing, because, you know, she can actually go off and do her own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're both fine with that.
Yeah.
Great.
Another one for me would be Sarah Jane, or the Big Finish audio that I was talking about earlier. There's some really nice parts in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes up and you're kind of like, this is Sarah Jane. This is Sarah Jane 30 years on.
Mm.
She's an investigative journalist. She was at the top of her profession, and then something went wrong.
Mm.
And now she's got this group of people. It's really, really good. And you get references to Harry and things like that. But there's some really good acting in there. There's some very serious acting.
Mm.
And it's only an audio series.
Mm.
But, I mean, it's not restricted by budget, obviously. They can just do whatever they get a sound effect for.
Yeah.
So the good stuff in that first season. If you've got an opportunity to listen to it, I definitely would say, if you want some more Sarah Jane, that's where you should go first.
Okay.
It's a bit of a shame that they didn't try and pick her up with one of the later Doctors. Sarah Jane with, or Colin Baker would have been good.
Yeah, that's true.
Or
yeah.
Sylvester yeah. McCoy. Sarah yeah. Jane and Sylvester McCoy would have been quite good.
I think they would have been fantastic.
I think you could really bounce Sarah Jane off any of the companions. Oh, and of course, Five Doctors, when she's interacting with the other companions.
I was just about to say school around. Reunion with her and Rose,
actually. Oh, that's brilliant. Does he still stroke bits?
Bits of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
The Mrs. and the X.
And he just comes in and is like, right, okay, we've got to go. What are you two talking
laughing about?
Stop it. Just love that. And they're just wetting themselves.
And that's the good thing about that scene as well. It starts off as a one-up kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's and then it turns
like,
into a like
this kid you're hanging
we
around
both
with
had
now.
To put up with
you
know? This.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose it does say a lot as well when they're bringing back the companions for the Five Doctors.
Yeah.
For John Pertwee, they do go right. Let's get Sarah Jane because they didn't have Tom Baker.
No,
they,
that's yes,
he
that's
wouldn't
true.
He wouldn't come back and do it.
No.
So they use the cut
from Charda.
Yeah, and then they're kind of just. They need someone for John Pertwee. Well, you've got two other companions there.
Yeah.
And they got a lot more airtime than Sarah Jane did. But just because it was Sarah Jane, they're like, right, okay, she hasn't got the Doctor that she's synonymous with. We'll just bring her back to John Pertwee. It doesn't work in her timeline, but
we
don't care.
Yeah, exactly. We can get away with it. I think if we've got a little bit of time before the timer goes off, I wanted to bring it back to what we were saying before about somebody bringing characterisation to a companion. Because it's very, very hard to do, especially when you've got a show like Doctor Who, because it's forever seen, even by some people these days, as kind of like still a cliched, cheesy kids show, to be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, when you actually got the writers who put, not really put the effort in, that's the bad way to put it, but you've got the writers who really, really put out some fantastic stories, you know what I mean? Things like The Talons of Wang Chiang, things like that, when people actually sit down and do it, because at the end of the day, it's a tricky thing to do to make a believable character and to act a believable character and a companion when you're acting against a guy covered in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And that's what most people think of. You know, my dad can't watch science fiction because it's a guy in bubble wrap. You know? It's kind of like he can't really, you know, he can't suspend his disbelief. Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's hard for some people to do that.
Mm.
So to be in that situation and to say, no, you know, I have to act, to be honest, it's more of a theatre kind of thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, because with theatre, you have to use your imagination more than anything else. Because you'd be
basically. And you have to ignore that 300,000 people.
Exactly.
Watching you.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's more of a theatre acting kind of thing, which is why, you know, a lot of theatre actors translate well to the television.
Mm.
Because they're used to that kind of thing. And as I said, I mean, Elizabeth Sladen was one of the ones who really brought a full game to the table, really. You can't say that with, you know, there were a lot of other companions who did bring their full game to the table, but a lot of ones that seemed to phone it in.
I think you can tie that in as well with what you were saying earlier about, I've completely forgotten my train of thought now. You were
tied in with something.
Yeah, you would. Talking about something, the believability of the character,
yes,
and people being able to relate to that.
Yes.
I think it all ties in with the Vaughn effect of you can suspend your disbelief as far as something as it goes
incredible.
until something that is mundane happens, and you're like, well, it doesn't happen like that.
Yeah,
so like, you can have the TARDIS, you can go into space, you can meet a bubble wrap person,
yep.
You can go into warp drive and come back, and then if someone presses the wrong button to get the toaster to go, you'll just go, well,
if the whole thing hangs on something happening like the toaster,
well, because
it actually sends electricity
with.
Through the toast, and then you go, right, let's wire it in that way and do it like that, you'd be like, well, no, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So you completely suspend your
disbelief.
Because
it's something you're familiar with.
It always seems to be me
it's
nowadays.
Time up, I'm afraid.
You just talk too much.
Yes. I think that's very true.
Well, we shall tie up our Elizabeth Sladen.
I think it's been more a Sarah Jane, hasn't it?
It's been more a Sarah Jane, but
and
then
I think,
again, we
but
really...
then I don't know Liz Sladen.
Yeah,
yeah,
from
exactly.
What, from what Gemma
Sarah.
Started the podcast with,
yes,
it is, I think it hit us because we knew that would be the end of Sarah Jane.
Yeah.
Most other companions, and probably doctors as well, I think if we hear the news that they have unfortunately passed away, we'd be kind of like, all right, okay, well,
they did a lot of good stuff.
It's very sad that they've gone, but that's it. But I think because Elizabeth Sladen was brought back, or Sarah Jane was brought back into our consciousness through School Reunion and then Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah.
It is very fresh to go, oh, well, that's that character gone.
Yeah.
And maybe it's also a recognition, especially with the Brigadier just bouncing back, because we've had him appear in a couple of episodes and he never really made it onto Doctor Who again.
And you kind of know that they're nice people. Because you always know somebody who's met them at a con and spoken to them in the pub and stuff like that. Yeah. And they're just like, they are so lovely.
Yeah.
So maybe actually the nice person thing kind of exudes from the screen and then you kind of go, oh, a nice person has died. I don't like that very much.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, but I think it is because you've got an affection for the character. So for me, when Nicholas Courtney died, but the Brigadier died.
Yeah.
And the Brigadier is the person, you know, the fictional character who you have this thing with because that's who you've grown up with. So, you know, it's a weird thing, really, because you don't know any. One of them doesn't exist. You didn't know the other one. You shouldn't be sad.
Exactly.
But maybe
the one that doesn't exist now really doesn't exist.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And the one that did exist but you didn't know also doesn't exist anymore, so you won't get to know them.
Maybe we should call this a companion retrospective. Because we know...
Sarah Jane.
Well, this is the first episode of our companion
that thing that you just said.
What I just said that sounded really, really good, and so I messed up the second time. But yeah, we call it that, and we say this is a Sarah Jane one. The next one we will want to do will be the Brigadier.
Yes.
Because it's just said, right, this is it. We know there won't be any more. It's like buying a box set. You know, when the series has finally been put to rest, you can buy the box set, and you know you're not going to have to buy any additional DVDs to go with it.
Yeah.
And then we can.
Fair enough.
It's a very unromantic way of putting it.
It is, yes.
So we love you, Sarah.
We do. Yeah,
we do.
We'll miss you. Goodbye, Sarah Jane. Yes, Chris?
If people who enjoyed that wanted to get hold of us, what would the website address be?
Well, the website address would be www.onemanandhistardis.podomatic.com.
And what if they wanted to email us?
Well, we've got that covered as well, my friend. All they have to do is chuck a little email to omahtpodcast@gmail.com.
And if they're on Facebook, would they be able to go to a page there?
I think we're on Facebook as well, yes. You just search for One Man and His TARDIS, should be able to find it.
And if they were on Twitter, would there be a hashtag for us?
I think you'll find there's a hashtag OMAHT.
Well, that's awfully clever, isn't it?
It's awfully clever, isn't it? There are so many different ways that our lovely, lovely listeners can get in contact with us.
But we're not giving out the postal address.
No, we're not.
No, because we don't like you that much.
Thanks very much for listening to this episode of One Man and His TARDIS. Just to let you know, we've got a little idea in the air.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
if
not
you
quite sure whether it's going to work.
If you enjoyed listening to us ramble
kind of
quite badly, I'm actually doing it now.
Yeah,
yeah. We might as well just carry on.
We might as well doing it. We're so doing
you,
it now, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're recording now, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ian didn't know I was recording.
I didn't know I was recording. Right.
Yeah, we're on our own. There's no Gemma here.
There is no Gemma
here. Because we're going to talk to you about Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, don't... All right, most of you have probably turned off now. But if you are a member of that Venn diagram, like me and Ian, that
Doctor Who and Star Trek,
then if you do enjoy listening to us ramble, then you might want to check out...
And ramble.
Our new project... Project TNG.
Yes.
Mm.
At the moment, it's just a tiny little idea in Chris's head.
Yeah. So check us out on Facebook and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on.
Indeed. Yes. Do you want to tell them what your general idea is?
Oh, no, I was going to keep them baited breath.
Are you going to keep them baited breath?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You've got to check us out on Facebook.
They've got to check us out on Facebook, have they?
Yeah, if you like Star Trek, then...
And Doctor Who.
And Doctor Who. Yeah, because there's other people who are just listening and kind of like, oh, well, I'm a Doctor Who fan, but not a Star Trek fan. And this is the end
fools.
Of the podcast. And maybe there'll be something Doctor Who related
if
I keep listening.
That's true, yeah. There isn't, by the way.
No, this is it.
There isn't. It's all Star Trek based now.
Yeah.
We've gone into Star Trek now rather than Doctor Who. You might as well turn off now. You're not, are you? Because you're still thinking we're double bluffing you. We're going to put something in at the end, like, you know, some kind of little Doctor Who reference, like K9 or something like that, but we're not.
No, we're actually not, because that would take me editing more than just editing this in.
Oh, I could just do it on my phone.
Yeah, but...
So I've got my nice soundboard.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to do that.
No, we're not going to do that.
I'm not going to do it.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of One Man in His TARDIS. I'm Eldrad, King of Nothing.
Hang on.
You've taken the best one there. I'm supposed to ad lib to that.
Oh.
That's pretty good. Oh dear.
Should I stop and start again?
I'm wrecking my brain now.
I'll stop it and start again.
It's alright. Go on. We leave it running. It's alright. We don't edit this show.
Oh,
I was expecting someone to go, oh, I'm Eldrad, must live. I don't know. Okay.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't really make any sense.
No.
I know what you were trying to say. Okay.
I was originally going to go for, hi, I'm Eldrad, must live. And then everyone else do it in a round. Okay.
And we could have just started off by just saying, Eldrad must live, Eldrad must live, Eldrad must live.
Okay, should we do that instead?
Okay,
let's. Well, I'll edit this and stick this at the end as a kind of like post thing. Gemma's now wearing the fez, and we'll start again.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do it in a kind of like a. Go on.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Hello and welcome to One Man in His TARDIS, episode 8. I'm Eldrad Must Live.
I'm Eldrad Must Live.
Sorry. I'm Eldrad Must Live doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't, does it really?
Should I say hello, Eldrad Must Live?
No.
Should I just not bother?
Just say Eldrad Must Live.
It's not spontaneous anymore.
It's not
anymore.
Working.
No, okay.
I'm sorry, sweetie.
Alright.
You're gonna have to edit this one now unless you want to just stop.
Yeah, no, it's alright. I'm just gonna cut all this out.
Well,
and
you haven't edited
at the end.
Any of the other ones, so.
No, I know, but no one will notice until they listen to the end.
Alright.
Now you'll notice because I'm talking to you. Alright.
Alright.
Bye bye, see you next week. Hello and welcome to One Man is TARDIS, episode 7. I'm Chris Nichols.
I thought it was episode 8. I'm Ian Cliff.
I'm Gemma Nichols and I don't know what episode it is.
Okay, let's do that again.
No, that's fine.
We've already done 2 or 3 full starts.
This is the third start now.
Please, come on.
We used to be so good at this.
Okay, right, we'll start again.
No, that's fine.
One more.
Oh, for God's sake.
Ready?
Yeah.